Welcome to Criseo Corner. My name is Bill Benny. I will be your host today for the presentation of Criseo Corner here on WHYF 720 AM, Holy Family Radio, our Catholic radio station here in central Pennsylvania. Let's open with a prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of us, your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and you shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his constellations through Christ our Lord. Amen. As I mentioned on previous shows, the Criseo movement here in the Harrisburg Diocese is active and growing. Criseo is here to provide information and share with you many prospects of the movement. How? By talking with men and women that are members of Criseo and listening as they share what they have experienced as part of the Criseo family. Our goal through conversation, discussion, and witnessing is to give a personal look at what it means to be a Criseista, a member of the movement. But Criseo Corner is not just for those that are currently active in the movement. Hopefully, those members not currently active will find Criseo Corner as a path back to being active. And finally, those that are hearing the word Criseo for the first time may want to dive deeper into what this movement is all about. Our hope is that everyone listening finds value in this information being presented, as well as the talks that are given by our guests. And if you're not a member of the movement and something that is said is of interest to you, please go to our website, harrisburg-criseo.org. And Criseo is spelled C-U-R-S-I-L-L-O. For more information, you can certainly go to that site. Without further delay, let me welcome our guest for today. He is fairly new to the movement, considering we have some members that have been in the movement for 35, 40 years. But without further delay, let me welcome him. I have known Bill for about 6 years, I believe, and I'm excited to learn more about him and his path to Criseo. Bill, welcome to Criseo Corner.
Honored to be here, Bill.
Well, it's good to have you. We've met through Criseo and have known each other for that time. How long has it been? When did you make yours?
It was the 100th. It was before the pandemic, so there's like a time warp there where I have trouble putting a quantitative number of years
on that. You're right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's for all of us for a lot of things. But what we'd like to do is we'd just like to learn a little bit about you, your background, where you came from, things like that. So can you tell us a little bit about your background? Where are you originally from?
Well, I was actually born in Westchester County, New York. That's just north of the Bronx. My whole family was from the greater New York and New England area. My father took a job that eventually took him first to Dallas, Texas, and then eventually to Harrisburg with AMP Incorporated. Oh. And here I pretty much grew up, moved around a fair amount, and were a number of parishes. But I consider myself as native a Pennsylvanian as I can be, with just a little bit of New York and Dallas flavor and occasionally an accent or two.
Yeah, I've heard some of your accents. They're pretty good.
I get back with family, sometimes it slips in.
Yeah, you mentioned AMP. I know AMP. I know quite a few people that had worked for AMP, and when that closed down, I don't think they totally closed down.
They were
initially
taken over by Tyco, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So they were a big business in the area at that time. So your family is originally from Ireland?
No, New York.
But I mean your heritage.
Oh, if I go, my great grandparents almost all came over either from Ireland, France, Scandinavia, quite a few places. So, but I had a little bit of Irish on almost every corner of the family tree.
Yeah. I know we've talked sports a little bit. I do believe you're a pretty strong Notre Dame fan, if I have that right.
That comes from 4 years of tuition. It makes you. And I actually had a good experience. My freshman year was the Rudy game, and we had the 77 championship with Joe Montana, and I'm not graduating with his class. And so those were good years. It does tend to make you a fan.
Yeah. Now, what about your immediate family? You have a couple of girls I know, I don't know about your whole family, but.
Well, my wife and I have three girls. My oldest is Erin. She went to Notre Dame as well. My wife said we kind of tithed with the church by doing that. And then she went on to Penn Medicine, and she's a doctor completing her residency in Philadelphia as we speak.
Oh, very nice.
My
Oh,
old.
at CHOP.
Well, she's doing a double residency, so half at CHOP, half at HOP. So
But yeah, oh wow.
she's an underachiever, just like her parents, I guess. I don't know.
Well, since you bring that up, what motivates you? What keeps your motor running?
Well, actually, the biggest thing and the most profound thing was obviously the shared objective of my wife and me to raise three lovely young ladies. And with by the grace of God, we were very successful to be blessed with three wonderful girls who are best friends with each other and really kind daughters to their aging parents. So it's good because one's a doctor, one's a physician's assistant, and one's a nurse. So I think we'll be cared for in our old age.
Oh,
So
absolutely.
I think we
Absolutely.
prepaid that. Yes.
Well, imagine about bringing up three girls, and bringing up any child is sometimes has some challenges. Has there been any challenges in your life that you can relate to, you had to work through
There's always changes that you don't expect. I mean, you have a plan, and I guess the old expression is, if you want to test God's sense of humor, make a plan and see how that can go very differently than you intend, but always winds up working out for the better. So there were some career developments that knocked me off my trail and would have been long-term disappointed, but it all played out better. If I would have stayed in the public sector too long, I probably wouldn't have been able to afford to send my girls to college, especially the Notre Dame one. That was 10 times more expensive than when I went there. But and I got a championship and she didn't. So I'm not sure there was real value there from that perspective. But it's funny how, no matter how disappointed you may be in your plans falling apart, that somehow it turns out better than you could have ever planned once you have a chance to look back at it with proper perspective. So God has been good to me even when I didn't realize it.
Yeah, I know I've had situations where, and really before I would say my faith, stronger faith journey came with Crucio. But before that, I was of the mindset that I looked at the immediate situation and why this happened and tried to figure it out, but then let that affect me. Whereas now it's more like, I guess maybe it's just age too, but it's more of a wait and see. Not to get too fired up about things. And it's amazing how, if you do that and you really bring your faith in God into the picture, how it all seems like almost always something positive comes out of it, no matter how it started. You feel the same way?
Oh, absolutely. And just when you forget the previous event, the next one will hit. I mean, traveling with God is definitely better than traveling alone. No question about that.
Well, can you tell us a little about your faith journey? Were you cradle Catholic?
Yes, I mean, cradle Catholic, but also went through some challenges. My family were obviously very traditional Catholics, and didn't embrace the Vatican II thing very well in the beginning, didn't accept a lot of the changes that they didn't understand at the time. And at that point, I was, I went to First Communion at the communion rail. So, and Mass was in Latin initially. For a young kid such as me, it going to English, I thought it was a great thing because I had some concept of what was going on, as opposed to trying to read along in English and the Latin translation. But it gave, I think, excuses to my biological father to fall away from the faith, which kind of tore the family apart quite a bit. Ultimately, my parents divorced, and that was a difficult thing to go through because at that point, divorce was somewhat scandalous, and for a Catholic family, it was admitting defeat, I think, for my mom, but she made the right decision. My father had a drinking problem, and Caused a lot of problems that I don't dwell on. And the move was economically unsettling, but long-term good. And her parents were very devout Catholics. And essentially, their faith is what kept the grandchildren all on track. So I was always maintaining my Catholicism, but also did a lot of reading on other Christian writings, did a lot of writings into prophetic works, many of whom were Protestant authors. And then when I went to Notre Dame, I had the opportunity to take not only the required theology courses, but many of the electives that I chose to take, which gave me a chance to really advance my academic understanding of my faith. And having Mass in the dorm every night, being able to go to daily Mass had a great impact. It was a great way to divide up the studies. So I became an educated Catholic and a firmly committed Catholic during those years, which prepared me to encounter the forces of evil when I went to law school. Just kidding. Might have been introduced to a couple, maybe. But no, I think that's the route that made my faith grow.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I think we've all traveled that path a little bit. I know that my parents were Catholic. My father wasn't to begin with, but not that they got divorced. But it also didn't give me a firm foundation until I met my wife. And we really, she, I've told people all this, you know, I just hang on to her coattail. She's just amazing. So, well, we're going to take a break here and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about Presio and how your involvement is and where you feel Presio has been a part of your life. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Crescillo Corner. We're with Bill Tully, and we've talked a little bit about him as outside of Crescillo, his family, his life, his journey through Notre Dame. So now we'd like to talk a little bit about Crescillo itself. So, like I said, I knew Bill about 6 years, I believe. Remember back when the 100th was. We've known each other through some of the events at Crescillo and Bill's work some weekends. So how and when did you become a member of Crescillo? Now, you said the 100th, and we don't know when that was exactly because of COVID. But how did you get involved? Were you one of those that, was asked like 30 times and then you finally said yes, or was it pretty quick with you?
I can't say it was 30 times, but I can say it clearly covered 30 years. I had a lot of excuses. I couldn't do it while I was in law school. I couldn't do it while I was working in the DA's office. I couldn't work it when I started in private practice. I couldn't do that. I didn't have time when we were starting a family. So I had every excuse on the planet when I probably had more time than when Bill Parker asked me out of the clear blue sky, and not even knowing him that well, I found myself saying yes before I could stop myself. So that was an odd experience unto itself, but maybe that Bill Parker might be really convincing.
Well, generally I found with Bill, what he said is, I'd like to go to Crescillo. Okay. When can I pick you up? You know, something like that.
So, well, it was close to that.
So he generally already had in his mind that you were there. That's what he did. But it's interesting talking to people and doing this Crescillo corner, how they did get involved, how. And when we're in Crescillo, we come to realize a lot of times, or well, most times, that it's the Holy Spirit. That you had said, you don't even know why. You said, why that? Yes, that time? I think all of us Crescillesters are convinced that it's the Holy Spirit.
Well, looking back at it, there's no other real explanation, because when it's happening real time, you're startled by it. But after the Crescillo weekend, there was no doubt in my mind it was the right time for me to be there.
And I hope I don't embarrass you, but Bill was one of the folks that when he showed up, The look on his face was like, "What did I do?" But we have a registration table, and the guys and the girls really don't know what the weekend is going to encompass. You know, so they're really going on faith of on their sponsor, and so I'm sure right until we get down into the rooms and into the program, some of them are looking for the exit door sometimes, only because they don't know what to expect.
I clearly had my eye on the exit for quite a while, but then I didn't want to embarrass myself in front of the bishop, so I figured I had to go through with it, and I'm so glad that I did.
Now you've been involved since you've become a Cursiesta. We try to, and just to alert the people that are listening, we try to almost do a step by step process of having folks start in one place and gradually take on more responsibilities as they move through and become leaders, you know, on a weekend. So generally where you start is the kitchen. Pretty sure Bill probably started there and maybe has some memories of the kitchen.
Well, I remember it was the 101st. I think one of my fellow Cursiestas says, "Oh, you're coming back for the booster shot right away." And I have to admit that I was a Holy Spirit junkie after that week, mm-hmm. that weekend. And then working it was even more rewarding because I wasn't in shock. I got to see all the workings behind the scenes and had even a greater appreciation for the movement after working it. And working in the kitchen was particularly good because, one, I learned how to cook for large quantities of people, and two, just to serve on that level, being able to take care of feeding and cleaning up and preparing, that was good for the soul as well.
Yeah, and that's a common theme that I think most of us express is service. You know, when we do work the weekends, one, the Holy Spirit's going to take care of this. Don't fret. And secondly, be of total service to the men or the women that have come through as candidates. So I said that you had, you know, you've done various tasks now. I know that you've given talks. I know that you've been a rector. Can you talk a little bit about any impact that those might have had on you? Maybe your different perspective of how you see the weekend after working those.
Well, actually, I would have to say that I signed up for every Cursillo since that time. Yes. One of them I had to back out of because a family emergency that occurred. And then, of course, we had some cancellations during the pandemic. But every one of those weekends I worked and had the honor to give talks and worked up through various tasks. The assistant coordinator and coordinator gave me perspective as to what the amount of work and organization and preparation that goes in to having the weekend go off without a hitch, mm-hmm. even though the Holy Spirit does all the heavy lifting. And then working up to assistant rector, and then rector was this past winter probably was one of the most impactful weekends I had. I never encountered the Holy Spirit to that level and magnitude. It was, I found myself fighting tears most of the time.
And I think that's the result of the fact that you are totally focused on the candidates when you're rector. Hopefully, if things run the way they should, all the incidentals are taken care of by somebody else. So you really have the ability to connect with the candidates in a way that really is profound in many cases. And it's always good to walk away from that weekend and look and see the changes that have occurred over the weekend with the candidates and sometimes with the team members that almost get that booster shot.
Oh, no question. I'm not sure who enjoys the weekends more, whether it's the team or it's the candidates, and probably a toss up most of the time, but all the way around, it's extremely rewarding, made a major change in my life, my outlook on things. And my wife's still trying to figure out why I'm always smiling. She's worried.
She's worried. Well, part of the weekend that we talk about, and that's what we try and do on this Cursillo Corner, is just give snippets of what happens. As I've mentioned before on some of the shows, Cursillo used to be a big secret. It used to be like someone's asked you to make a weekend, and the first question generally is, well, what's it about? Well, I can't tell you that. Or I don't know how to explain it, or because it's not a retreat. You know, it's not something that is structured in a way that it's a retreat. It's
It's not
much
really
deeper.
a secret. It's just you want everyone to experience without any pre-advanced expectations, and it allows it to unfold. But as a candidate, when they started saying it was secret, I'm thinking flashbacks to the old-fashioned third degree with the Knights of Columbus. How is this going to play out? So maybe that's why I had the look of a runner when I showed up. So.
A runner, by the way, is a term that we've sort of put on someone that decides the weekend's not for them, and then all of a sudden people are wondering where they are. That has not happened in my time that I've been with it. So not something to concern anybody about. Three things that are essential to the weekend are piety, study, and action. And actually, I think that's the foundation of the movement. Can you talk a little bit about pie study and action and a little more in depth what we're talking about with those?
Well, it starts with the piety, and I would use the experience. As I said, when I came out of Notre Dame, I found myself an academic Catholic, and I could defend the faith among the best of them with the readings and the biblical citations, et cetera. But Curcio kind of really lit that on fire, where all of a sudden my faith came to life and became actually animated. And it affected every aspect of my life, even professionally. So the desire to have that engagement, that prayer, to stay in grace with the Lord, that's the greatest reward there is. But that can only continue if you follow through with the other two ends, which is the study, which means you continue to do the reading, you do the meditations, and a lot of times it works great just meeting with your fellow Cursiistas and sharing things that may have struck someone else as really impactful, and you can benefit from the study of others as well. And I found this Man Is You movement to be one of the greatest instruments of study, especially if it's early in the morning on a Saturday when you would normally want to sleep in. That's got a reward. And then that feeds the fire of service, the ability to put your faith into action. And that works really helpful for me. I think one of my mentors in vet court was actually one of the team members for the 100th Curcio. He was the only familiar face I recognized until I saw the bishop. But yeah, he basically saw the difference the next time I had vet court after Curcio weekend. He was the one that pointed out the total difference. I didn't see it, but you feel it. You're able to connect people, not just as humans, but as souls. And that's really changed my whole outlook. It's made it easier for me to deal with my docket. I have the criminal docket, so I tend to see people at their worst, or the remnants of people at their worst, and can always keep it on the positive end with an eye toward redemption. Those three legs keep you going.
Yeah, they do. They do. I guess we should mention we're talking to Judge Bill Tully since he's mentioning these terms, and maybe people don't know what he's talking about. But yeah, and you know what? Even when you first come home from the weekend, your family, your wife have questions like you're different. What's going on? You know, I know generally I was more thoughtful, more considerate, more loving, I think. I really appreciated my wife more after the weekend because I appreciated people in general too. So yes, Bill, this was excellent. I appreciate you coming on. We're running short of time again. This happens quite a bit. So I want to thank you, and hopefully at some point you can come back and visit us again, and that would be great.
Well, you know where to find me. They
Okay,
come.
Bill, thank you. Now, unfortunately, I see our time is about up. I want to thank Bill again for spending time with us today. And hopefully you come back and update us on your Curcio journey at some other point. But before we go, I want to remind everyone that you can find out more information about the Harrisburg Curcio movement at, and that's spelled Curcio, Cursillo, at harrisburg-curcio.org. If you have any questions about Curcio related and would like personal response, you can email me also at BillB. 671 at Verizon.net. In closing from Curcio Corner, until we meet again, be well, God bless, and De Colores.
Equalize.